Ready?
I'm going to
Dave.
Snag some, but.
This one?
I'm going to be a little late.
It's going to be a little late.
Mike.
Ready on the left?
Ready on the right?
Where's Dave?
I'm not here, he'll be here later.
Okay. I would now like to call to order the Georgetown Dubai Public Utility District Board of Directors meeting of Tuesday, July the 10th, 2018. Dan, will you lead us in a pledge?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, let the record reflect that the board member Souza informed both the general manager and myself that he would be late for today's meeting, but that we can expect him to be here at some point. Everyone else is present. Okay, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Very well. Any discussion, any from the audience on the agenda? Okay, bring it back. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. Public forum. Any folks have anything you'd like to talk to us about? All right, seeing no one, I'll bring it back for the consent calendar. Do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Right. Anyone from the audience, would anybody from the audience like to have anything on the consent calendar removed or discussed? All right, I'll bring it back to the board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, informational items. President's report. I've got a couple of little things. Apparently, we had some discussion this weekend concerning some issues with the septic systems in the trails. I took down some information from some folks and brought it to staff. They researched it, and I have to say, very promptly got back to me with solid information that I then relayed to the folks that were concerned. And I think for the most part, everyone was satisfied with the explanations that we brought forth. But it also gave us some ideas about how we might possibly change some of the policy down the road as to, from my point of view, it's important that when we do those inspections when we sell homes, that we also inform escrow of the condition that we find those tanks so that they can inform both buyer and seller of that condition. And that's something that we can certainly talk about at a future board meeting. I also went through the Aqua News that came to my home. And quite honestly, I don't know, and some of you may have a different perspective on this, but I had some issues with the president of the board of directors, Tim Quinn. I think he's the president of the board, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's the head of it, yeah.
Yeah. Concerning the new water use efficiency laws that we can look forward to, it seems that Aqua feels that they've made sufficient changes that now they actually are interested in supporting this 55-gallon thing. I'm honestly quite disappointed. I've not heard that Aqua was moving in that direction. Had any of you heard anything about Aqua moving in that direction? You had? Mm-hmm. Maybe you can tell us what you think about this.
Well, I mean, personally, or from Aqua, what I heard from Aqua, one of the big things is that I had heard was that one of the amendments that was obtained in the final bill was that it was a 55-gallon is a provisional quote-unquote standard. And what that means is that a lot of the groups, Aquas, CSDA, other people, basically want to have another bite at the apple after all the reports and the studies are done by the Water Resource Control Board on what the standard should be, that the ultimate authority would rest with the state legislature as it should. So basically, Aqua and all these other groups can go back to the legislature and say, look, this is not going to work, this 55 gallons is not going to work, or it is going to work, or it should be some different number. I know that was one of the big concerns amongst that it wasn't set in stone that 55 gallons was exactly what it's going to be. It's called a provisional standard right now.
Yeah, one of the things that Tim talks about here is that the law would be changed somehow to reflect the weather in different areas and the needs of different areas so that it wasn't a one-size-fits-all. If that, in fact, is what is going to happen, I'm probably more likely to be supportive of this. But otherwise, I continue to feel that these decisions need to come back to local control.
Are there other states doing this, or is this California leading the way kind of thing, or does anybody know?
I don't know what other states do.
Other states don't have a water issue as we do.
Australia.
Arizona has a major water issue.
Arizona, and I know Colorado. Does. They're lacking. They missed the boat on water storage and things like that.
Colorado has a very different system.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they have water judges, and they have a whole system that's very different than ours. They do watershed by watershed, so I think they just run out of water and they come back by watershed, honestly.
Yes. There is also a bill that's been introduced, apparently, where they're going to tell us what our policy should be on shutting off water for people that don't pay.
Right.
Again, how much clearer can it get that the state is basically attempting to supersede the functions of local boards, local water boards, with their own rules? And this is not something that's going to serve us well. And we need to be aware of this and be willing to go to the mat on some of these issues. And, you know, we need to align ourselves with other groups that are willing to go to the mat on these issues as well. So, you know, just things that I think we all need to be aware of, and certainly that that our constituents need to be aware of. There was one last thing that I saw in here that was of some interest. And I don't know how it got past me. I guess we passed another water bond.
No, it got approved to go on the ballot.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. It got approved to go on the ballot?
It got approved to go on the November ballot. Right. That was in these last primary election.
Okay, so it was a primary that
approved it, ballot measure to get, it has enough,
You know, I keep looking at these things, and we all keep paying for them, and I don't see any benefit coming back, at least to this district. So
I think that's Prop 60, right?
68 or something, 66. Was it?
Yeah, and they're selling it as a park. Park water bond, yeah.
I mean, we...
Mountain Counties is actually supporting that bond.
Is it really? I guess I'm going to have to talk to Mr. Kingsbury, because... Mm-hmm. I just don't see how it benefits us. And again, I'm happy to hear from anybody here that has.
There's more money for the upper watersheds and forest protection, watershed protection.
Well, there is value to that, certainly, and that does help us.
You might talk to John about it.
I'm going to talk to John about it specifically. That's pretty much what I got. So, board reports. Anyone else have anything they want to talk about?
Just something real quick. Sure. At the risk of taking Steve's thunder and his report, though, as part of my job with CSDA, I was at the General Manager Leadership Summit, and in my professional role, now there's obviously a general manager, because I'm not one. But went and heard a lot of good sessions up there. Not something that's GDPUD paid for me to attend, so I make that clear. But also, one of the sessions that really stuck on that, soon Steve will probably touch on it too, was this managing pension obligations for districts. Send some information out to the board. Heard a presentation from the Irvine Ranch Water District about some things that they've been doing, setting up a trust, putting some money aside for their long-term pension obligations. I thought it was really interesting. Got some information from their finance director offline after the conference, and as I said, sent it to you guys, and we'll definitely be following up with staff about looking at some options for us. So.
Anything that we can do to improve our situation there will have a real significant long-term effect on the finances of this district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Anyone else?
Nothing for me.
Okay. General Manager's report.
So a couple of things I've already been touched on a little bit. One, I had a little discussion on legislation. There was a slew of information come out regarding the new water conservation legislation that President Uso spoke to, SB 606, AB 1668, a bunch was from Aqua, some other stuff from other lobbyists that do work for Mountain Counties and whatnot. So I attached those fact sheets and stuff from Aqua here at the back. It talks about those type of things, the provisional nature of the 55 gallons per person per day, and also about the time frame for phasing this in, and that it doesn't start right away, it phases in, and the state's got to do reports and analysis, and they come back in another phase, and could be another restriction on usage. And then also that some of the other questions that come up about the fines and whether or not there'll be water police, and it's clear in this discussion here that the fines will be levied against the agency, not against the customers. So it's up to, if people are not meeting their overall the aggregate, the district is not meeting those goals, then the district gets fined, not the customers. So
then what do we do to recover that money?
Right.
That's right.
Because ultimately, the money all comes from the customers.
Customer.
Regardless of who writes the check, the money's ultimately going to come from the customers.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not an issue where the board will not be forced to enact policies and ordinances to go out there and hire a water cop to go find the people that are actually violating it. It's as a whole. So the whole district pays, every customer pays, not just those that are violating. That's the way it works. So, and then as Reverend Wadley mentioned, I did attend a gentleman manager leadership summit. Again, this is the second time I've been, and it's been extremely valuable. And I will mention this time I did get a scholarship through CSDA to attend, so the board costs for this were minimal. I get credit back from CSDA for attending. And as we did attend a session together on managing pension costs, and we talked before, and I'm thinking I'll try and get someone in here reasonably soon to talk to you. I'll give a presentation on ways we can do that as our district and different methods and options, opportunities. It's difficult. I mean, the presentation we already was great, but it is challenging. They had some very specific items they could take advantage of to reduce their costs. And basically, they focused on reducing the PERSable costs, so any kind of benefits or any thing is excess and additional, you know, beyond the salary, trying to make sure those expenses are not PERSable. Don't factor in an employee's purse calculation. So I don't know that it's all applicable to us, but it's certainly a good educational. And I'll forward some of that. I can forward the whole slideshow to the board because it was available to us as PDFs.
For example, yeah. Today, our healthcare costs and things like that, are those purseable?
I don't believe those count towards the salary benefit calculation.
Okay.
So no.
So it's strictly salaries anyway.
Yeah, right? So they were talking about ways they were able to shift some costs and maybe not call it salary, or not cost, but benefits to employees, and shift it and say, not, it's not salary, it's a, I don't know, it's a uniform allowance or something like that, or a car allowance instead of as a salary.
So finding things that employees might need that we could.
That was one of the takeaways that I got from it.
That could be.
Director Wadley had some other takeaways from it.
Yeah,
a lot of ones that I heard.
Right. No, I was focused a little bit different on the creation of the trust account.
The trust account.
But yeah, I mean, there was definitely a way to, you know, trying to make provide compensation to employees that doesn't factor into their purse, right? So.
I also went through a session on effectiveness of various methods of communicating customers, which is something we talked a lot about here at the board. How to establish the culture in the organization, which is something else that has been changing over time. We've been trying to bring it to a more professional level. And also about training for boards and committees and how the importance of that and different methods for doing that. So again, this one to me was much better than the Aqua conference this year. So if I had to compare those two, I got a lot more benefit out of this one this year as opposed to Aqua. I think the reasons for that are varied, but as a GM, this is the only place I can go to interact with specific other GMs and learn about the same issues other GMs have and how the people are dealing with it. Aqua is much more big picture, focused on legislative advocacy and stuff, which is important, but as far as the day-to-day activities and what I can take away from and apply here, the GM Summit is much more valuable in that regard. A couple of the minor things, the board election, as you know, there's three seats up for election in November. The County Elections Department sent a letter about that upcoming election, and they're highly recommending that potential candidates schedule appointments with them for filing. So Directors Hanschild, Uso, and Souza are all in seats that are up for election. So please keep that in mind if you're going to run for election, that the county is encouraging you to go meet with them. I don't really know why. To be honest, I don't know what they think to walk through the procedures and process and make sure you get your paperwork done correctly. And then upcoming board items. In August, we'll be doing the wastewater fee review, professional service agreement. We've done interviews with consultants to do that feast ALT zone CDS fee study update. And we're going to go to the finance committee on Tuesday with some a ranking of the firms that we received and get their approval or disapproval of our recommendation from staff. We're also going to be updating our sanitary sewer management plan, which is something that's required periodically by the state. We also need to review our conflict of interest code. This is the board conflict of interest code. It affects the Form 700 filings for board and executive staff here at the district management staff. So that's something we have to update every 2 years. I think it's two, but I think it's every even year we have to do it. And then that'll be the second reading for the assessments and tax lien ordinance. This is what allows us to collect for the assessment districts and to lien folks' property that are not paying their bills. And then I'm confident we'll be wrapping up the MOU with Local 39 and have that back for board discussion at that time. Under September items, I just have the kind of regular standing items that are supposed to happen at that time of year. One new one would be the financial reserve policy. We've got some, had some recommendations from BTD here, our financial consultant, about updating that policy and some suggestions. So we'll be putting something together and taking it to the finance committee relatively soon, probably September, and then bringing it back to the board for final approval. I won't talk anymore. There's a few more there. We're gonna waste the irrigation ordinance update. I'm gonna start doing the workshops on that, so we'll come back to you with the plan and the schedule for getting that done. That's pretty much it.
Now, I'd like to see at an appropriate time a plan from you concerning how we're gonna spend those funds on outreach and communication. I also like to make a recommendation that when we start talking about those plans, that we consider, as we've talked about, the possibility of other committees and kind of walk away from those discussions because of the potential cost, that we consider using some of that money, that outreach money, to establish some other committees that might be important for the community, such as irrigation, and I actually had a conversation with someone concerning the possibility of a committee that would help us to reach out for to apply for grants. Mm. And there are some, we have some people in, the, in this community that actually have done it for a living. We actually have some that are doing it now for a living. And some said that they would consider, if we had such a committee, they would consider joining it and giving us some help in trying to gather those funds. I think the natural way to do it would be to do it as a committee. So if you would consider that when you bring us that report, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, the next steps that I was going to follow for the communications strategy would be to work, Analyst Cross is going to be working on an RFP to get proposals from consultants to do that for us. So that would, we can bring that back to, I don't know how much it's going to be at this point, but we can certainly bring that back to the board for approval before we move forward with it to see if it's something you want to do.
Yeah, I'd like to look at the RFP before you actually publish it, just simply get, because I want to make sure that all of the, or that the board agrees with your approach. This is something new for us.
It's
something new for the district, and there should be board input as to how that money is spent.
Well, wait, do we normally look at the RFP? We don't normally look at RFP
no.
stuff.
I know that we don't normally look at them. I'm saying that if we're going to hire someone to do a certain job for us,
right.
I want to make sure that it's that we're publishing an RFP that that we agree reflects our views of how we should do outreach.
I understand that. We aren't management, though. That's where we hired Steve and Christina to do that work, and I trust them to do that work and bring us back a recommendation myself.
I understand that.
So.
And well, that's something we can talk about. And we probably shouldn't have a big discussion about it here. But it's certainly something we can talk about if there are some objections to doing that. All right. Operations.
All right. Lots going on. Lake's still 95% full, which is doing pretty good for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 95% full. As of yesterday, it was 19,150 acre feet still.
Wow.
That's great.
And it didn't have to, no one had to drive up there to get it now that we can look at it.
Well, we have
on the satellite thing.
Can you elaborate on that? I don't know if the board is aware that that's all working now.
Oh, it's on the same, we have a site, we can look at all of our water storage tanks and other things that we can monitor. And now the lake is all dialed in and set up on this site so that we can, it's one of the things that we can look at to monitor the lake level. Hourly, weekly, you can get on there, print out graphs. Same with our storage tanks and things like that. So that was done. You guys approved that a while back, and that one's done. It's working.
So that was something, for the longest time, when I first started, we were driving up there every day to take measurements off a staff gauge. And one of the things that we saw we need for improvement, and the state is actually mandating through this legislation, was the real-time monitoring of the reservoir. So. Finally, we've got that system all installed in place, and now we're able to check levels from the office.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I know they had mandated that we measure flows in and out. Is that part?
That's part of it, but that hasn't happened yet. That's ongoing.
That's in process, but ultimately...
ultimately, we'll be able to see all the flows and the lake level storage tanks. Everything will be on the site.
Fantastic.
So.
I think what's great for the public to know, too, is what they've talked about. These are compliance issues, not a luxury for the district, just having this added information. But to stay in compliance, we've got a lot more data now available to the public and of course, the state to keep a record of.
Right. Yeah, but it is cool.
It is cool. It is cool. And it saves a little time because our guy doesn't have to drive. He goes up country every day anyway, but he doesn't have to go all the way to the lake every day. So, pretty neat. The rest of the system, I'll get into all this in a second. Things have been going well. We've had a few water breaks, probably heard about. A lot of, not really any big main ones recently, but there are a lot of service line breaks, customers things like that been going on.
How about Marvell?
That was this weekend. That ended up being a service line.
Really?
Yeah. It was a service line on that one. I wasn't here, but I heard about it when I got back.
It took a lot of people out.
Well, no, we had to shut them off to fix the service leak. It was one of those old school services that didn't have a valve on it.
Its own shut off.
So we had to shut the main off to fix that one leak.
Did you put a shut off on it when you did?
I'm sure they did. They do that now. I wasn't there, like I said, but that's why other people went off. It was because of that reason.
Same situation. Wasn't there one in Kelsey and Bain Road too?
Yes, there was. That was last week. Yep, there was one down there. Well, there's been, if I wrote them all down, I could probably give you 10 of them. There's been a bunch. It's because the ground's drying out. It's that time of year. Drying out and cracking and moving, and things are starting to come apart. Happens every summer, and then again in the fall when it gets wet again. I wanted to bring you up to date on the storage tank at Walton that's been being recoated for the last month and a half or so. They're almost done. They're finishing up cleanup today. We're hoping to be able to fill the tank by Thursday or Friday and super chlorinate it, because we have to do that for 24 hours and then drain it, fill it again, take a sample, and if it passes, it'll be back online. So most likely it'll be back online by next week, so which is really good, because that's a 300,000 gallon tank that we haven't had access to. So our other 300,000 gallon next to it goes up and down really fast, because that's supplying all of Georgetown Divide, this whole half, with water, and it's not big enough. So our guys really want that tank back online. And we had an issue yesterday at Hotchkiss Hill, which is our biggest tank, 500,000 gallon tank. The valve that automatically fills it to certain levels was going bad again. Since I've worked here in 24 and a half years, well, those valves go bad. Things happen. It's usually just a little piece of a teeny tiny thing gets in a little orifice and it stops working. But anyway, they got that back on. Our guys went up there and rebuilt it yesterday and got it back online.
Is that an all tube valve?
Yes.
Do you have a quick question? What's the shelf life, if you will, with the coating of that tank too? How long is it supposed to last?
Well, they're saying 10 years. The stuff isn't like it used to be. Everything we buy nowadays isn't, actually, but you know, because the old tank went there, I don't know, 30 something years. It wasn't even that bad, but we had to do it because there was a couple of spots. Mm-hmm. But now they're saying 10. So apparently it looks like we're going to be doing a tank a year forever, probably.
Mm. Yeah, generally the rule of thumb is 10 years. You want to inspect them more frequently than that.
Yeah, 5.
Because then it'll identify if it can go another 5. Right. And that's, if you inspect it, you go in and take a look, and then you don't recode, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Hopefully, cross fingers, it can last longer than 10 years, but
yeah,
that's kind of industry guideline is 10 years. That's
right. So we're getting ready to do some other projects. These are going to be kind of a pain. We normally don't do this in the summer. We're going to do ditch lining in 3 different areas because they're leaking and they're causing problems for people. Not just like onto their property, but it's ruining expensive blacktop driveways. It's going by people's homes, you know, going under their home, things like that. Yeah. Septic system, another one. So I chose not to wait until September 30th to fix these. And I talked to Kyle this morning. He's my, the lead guy out there. Not too happy with me, but we're going to do a press release. We're going to shut the ditch off at close to these areas. And we're going to knock it out fast, like maybe one day. We're going to go in there and clean it. And while we're cleaning it and prepping it, the gunite crew will be guniting right behind them. And then the next morning, turn that water back on. Not everybody won't be out because the ditch will be on to that point. But then we'll have to get rid of it from then on, because you can't shut, otherwise we'd have to shut everybody off, which we're not going to do. And then there's 3 locations like that. One in Kelsey, one on Spanish Dry Diggins, and one in Cherry Acres. None of them are the big main ditch. These are all, well, actually Kelsey is the main ditch. It's just a little ditch out there. So anyway, that's gonna happen. We're working on that. It's supposed to start August 1st. I'm working on getting a contract right now with a gunite company to get that done. We're gonna do all the labor and prep and get it ready and wire it, and they're gonna be shooting right behind us. So some people aren't gonna be really happy, but we're I don't know, don't say too much, but it might cost us already in insurance claims for repairing driveways is what it's going to cost to fix this.
No, absolutely.
So, plus it's these people, I feel bad for them. I go out there and it's a wet mess.
Well, I'm constantly hearing about people that are complaining about property damage from leaky ditches. And, you know, we just can't keep stuffing mud in those things, trying to stop them from leaking.
Yep.
At some point in time, we have to deal with these problems, and we have to deal with them in a positive, long-term way. So
right.
I commend you for jumping on this.
Well, speaking of stuffing mud in it, we've been having an issue with the campground at ALT. And it's actually been an issue in that exact same spot since I started here in 94. And we always know that that's a spot where the guy has
to... proactive.
It hasn't been gunited, but it's... We've always been able to go out and stop it. It's a real rocky area, really rocky. The rock goes like that, so that as the water crosses it, it just shoots right in there. And anyway, the guys went out there yesterday. They were out there and they cleared all the brush out of it because it was really grown in, which dropped the water 6 inches in the ditch, which helps a ton. And they're trying to plug the holes. They're already on another job. We're already losing water down in Pilot Hill. Our lake is dropping. So they're... All the water's going down that direction, but it's not making it. So our guys are working like crazy right now, clearing ditches because there's so much vegetation growth with the sun, you know, out and hot, that they're out there trying to do that. We're down three guys right now, three of our ditch people, one retired, and two of them are out on sick leave. So we've got basically our three new guys and just killing it. I mean, they're actually doing really good, but it'd be nice to have the other three helping. So they're down there working on that today, and they're going to be doing it every day. Stomping her. Just going through all my notes. Nope, that was everything I had.
I have a question.
Yes.
When it was installed in the irrigation in Garden Valley?
What was
on
installed?
On every customer's. Someone told
you
me.
You mean that it wasn't every customer? It was everywhere in our ditch system. That if someone still had a water meter,
okay,
it was replaced with an orifice.
Okay, because they're complaining they're not getting this a same amount of water.
Right, because they're not.
Okay.
Now they're getting what they're paying for.
So
if they had a half inch of water before, they could actually turn on their water meter and get 5 inches through it and run it for 5 hours and then shut it off.
Okay.
And then now they get a half an inch of water through it if it's a half inch customer, and they can leave it on 24 hours a day and they get a half inch 24 hours a day. They can't take more than they're paying.
And what is that, a bladder or something?
Just a little hole.
Oh, really?
It's a little hole, a calculated hole that they know that a half inch, 1 inch, whatever it is, fits through that hole at a certain pressure, and that's what they get.
Wow. That's important information to communicate. And it should be communicated to the folks.
Oh, I've talked to a lot of them. A lot of them have already come in here angry, and I've talked to them. And
did they understand?
Most of them did. They weren't happy, but they totally understood. That one guy even said, "I guess I should just be happy. For 30 years, I got to use whatever I wanted." So,
hey Daryl.
Yes.
On those three spots that you're going to fix on the ditch.
Yeah.
Are you going to shut the water off on the ditch right from the very beginning? Because
how no, are you going to, how we're going to find it. We're going to go to the next wastegate before that each project,
mm-hmm.
And maybe two of them, so we don't dump a whole ditch and down one wastegate. But we're going to go, wherever the project is, like the one in Kelsey. There's a wastegate. Literally, it's kind of neat, 100 yards above it. But we don't want to dump it all there, so we're going to go to the next one about a quarter mile away and dump like half there, half here.
Mm-hmm.
And then put a little dirt dam in the ditch real quick, and then we could dry it out faster down below. Right. And then the same thing on the other two ditches.
Yeah.
And luckily, Spanish Dry Diggins ditch, if you're not familiar with it, it's only about this deep and that wide. I mean, just this much water running in it. It's a little teeny one out Spanish Dry Diggins, so that one isn't going to be a big deal. Kelsey and the Cherry Acres ditch are going to be the bigger two deals. But that's what we're going to have to do. Is Cherry Acres ditch will be completely empty from the beginning of the Cherry Acres ditch for probably, I'm guessing, 2 days. And then it'll be back on.
What are you going to do with the 300,000 gallons that you dump from the Walton Lake tank after you fill it?
We have to dechlorinate it and waste it. So, and we have dechlorinating devices that, you know, that'll do that as it comes out of the tank with sodium thiosulfate tablets. So, but you can't put it back in the system because it'll be too chlorinated to dechlorinate and then put it back. So it has to just, it's just going to go on the ground. And we'll have to be there testing it as it goes. But those tablets work great. Those are the same ones we use on the hydrants from the flushing program.
Thank you, Daryl.
Daryl, I got a question for you. Just one more. Do you have the luxury to hire a couple of seasonal staff members that can help you with all this work that you have piled on top of you?
You know what? I've actually been, I was talking about that with Kyle today. I was going to go, now that it's a new year, I might end up bugging that guy over there about that pretty soon. If some people don't start coming back to work, if we can get some temporary help, just some labor, because we could use some laborers right now, big time. So yeah, good idea.
Kids are out of school, looking for work, temporary part-time.
Yep.
Maybe something to look into.
All right, thank you so much, Daryl. For anybody who's interested, I just heard from Dave Souza, he will not be making it today. He's stuck.
Fire? So. You've got a fire up there, right?
Well, no.
There's a
helicopter.
He had another meeting that he had to go to, and he thought he'd be able to get out in time to make it to this, but it's not going to make it. ALT plant.
Watch your eyes. Can I do this?
Before we actually begin with the photos, I just want to share with both the board and the members of the public. You may see photographs published in the Mountain Democrat. Our photographer, Joe, that does the construction management through NextGen as a professional photographer. And each month, he will send Gloria and I somewhere between 40 and 45 photographs to review. We select the ones that we feel are most appropriate to share with the board relating to the progress of the project, but oftentimes, you may see different photographs in the paper that are maybe a little more glamorous. I mean, I've seen people running a grinder or little oddities that, from a construction standpoint, they don't mean a lot to me, but they're very colorful, and as a member of the community, it's fun to look at that kind of thing. But I just wanted to let the board and the public know, oftentimes what's published in the paper is different than what we might share with you at our monthly board meeting, and the reason for that is, Joe's real good about it, the representative with NextGen. He will allow Gloria and myself to look at photos that he turns over to the Mountain Democrat. And so far there hasn't been anything that we felt was inappropriate. So we're not filtering the photos, but I'm just sharing with you why you may see something different in the paper than you actually saw, you know, on the board agenda. Again, that's just the cover sheet. We keep track of each of these things in our file. So it's for the meeting today, July 10th. I've gone over this many times. Again, Myers is a contractor building the project. Somas, they designed it. Youngdahl, they do our concrete material testing. They'll get involved when we start laying the asphalt again. Foothill Associates prepared the original CEQA document. Their greatest activity comes into play on the stormwater type activities. In the summertime, we don't have a lot of that going on. And then a real significant player along with the constructor, Myers, is NextGen. They're doing the daily construction management out on the job. Okay, this is a photo of the original plant that was likely taken around 1974 when the plant was built. It's pretty interesting on the left side, although it's a black and white or a brown line photo, you can see the storage reservoir on the left, you can see Sweetwater Trail, you can see the small access road. That's the plant as it existed and the plant that staff has operated for several years. Down in the very bottom there, we've talked many times about the sludge drying beds. Down in the very bottom the corner, you can see a little bit of vegetation, but historically, when the filters were cleaned and a lot of plant operations, water was wasted down in that area. That's no longer a permissible way to do it with the state. We've got the new state-of-the-art plant, and we've got sludge drying beds that we built. And then the new treatment plant is up on the hill there. This photograph has been superimposed. This is actually the set of plans that are superimposed over the existing plant. So the thing right in the center there is primarily where the existing plant is on the far right. That's our new filter building. Down in the lower corner, you can see the four sludge drying beds. And then the other structure that's a little bit north of that is a raw water pump station building. Okay, this is a clarifier. It's not currently used at the plant. A lot of the material that you see in the bottom of that, we used it for our stormwater activity. So a lot of that is just sediment that was accumulated at the site, basically mud, earthen materials. And to do the retrofit work in the clarifier, we had to, under contract, the contractor was required to remove all of that. The way the contract documents were structured, it talked about a certain amount of sediment to be in the tank of a certain depth, and lucky for us, we didn't accumulate more than that, so there was no extra work associated with this, but they're down there with a vector cleaning out, like I say, a majority of this is just the sediment from the stormwater activities that we collected during the winter. We actually routed water back through there. Again, this is in the clarifier. This is, they're cutting out a lot of the metal stuff so we can reclaim and reuse this. That big cone that's in there is all out of there now. The walkway across the top will remain, and then it's a round tank. The perimeter will stay intact. We've got some additional photos. I'll show you more of what we're doing.
Is that metal there, that cone?
Yeah, that's all steel. What's nice about it too, a clause in the contract, all of that material was recycled. It went down to likely Schnitzer's, but it wasn't wasted. All that heavy steel material, they took several large drop boxes of it out of there, and it'll be reused. That's a nice one. That's the raw water pump station building. This is an electrical control panel. They call it the MCC. It's a motor control center, but all of the switches and things there will activate a lot of, some of them are tied into valves, but a lot of them have to do with the big pumps at the plant. So the next photo, these are the electricians actually wiring this system up, putting the wires in it. Do you have anything to add, Daryl? I mean, you've got operational background on.
It's just intimidating for operators like us up here that have ran this treatment plant forever, and we got about six buttons, and this is the small building. This is just a little raw water pump station. That's a little panel.
There's an identical panel or a bigger one that'll be up in the filter building. So we have two of these at the site, but this is the one that had more of the work done on it, so we selected this particular photograph. Okay, this is kind of important to us because PG&E, being a public agency, they're very busy all the time with expansions and replacing poles. It's exciting to us to have our line extension nearly complete now. The pole's actually in the ground. We've got all the underground in, and PG&E's agreed to hook us up now. So hopefully within the next couple weeks, we'll be able to have our new power in. Sometimes a project, this has been a long time in the making. We had a lot of fees that we paid a couple of years ago to get the whole line extension. It only consisted of one pole. And then we had a pretty heated debate with PG&E. They weren't going to allow us to have two services. We assured them we needed that. We needed to keep the old plant in operation and get the new service for the new plant. So they've agreed to allow us under the construction phase to have the two services. But all these things seem pretty benign, but they take a big effort in convincing people of what we really need so we can provide public water to the community. But that work went really well. Okay, at the upper end, that where you see the guy with the orange shirt, that's a DI or a drainage inlet, and this is some corrugated metal pipe. This is part of the storm drain system, the water that'll run off in the wintertime. And under the new designs that you see nowadays, rather than flooding somebody downstream, all this water that's collected in this system will be infiltrated in like a septic system. Trenches with a gravel bunker in them, they were all identified in the CEQA document. So we're actually infiltrating this water rather than discharging it downstream.
Is that what used to overflow over that person's driveway all the time?
No, that
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I think that was a result of elevated water levels in the storage reservoir.
Okay.
And when it went down the spillway, there was no way for the district at that time to control that water. It just went downstream and flooded a driveway. I don't believe we've had that issue in over a year.
A couple years.
Yeah, but it's a lot of that relates to proper management of the ditch system and the pond. And I don't think it will be an issue, but it's pretty much unrelated to this project, other than it was a spillway from the pond.
Thank you.
Okay.
Whoops. Sorry about that.
That photograph shows the standby generator that we have at the facility, and the electricians are running some of the wiring. They'll be running it from that generator, hooking it up to the main building. That's pretty much a state-of-the-art generator. It was spec'd that way. It's got low energy consumption, all permitted through the El Dorado County Air Quality Management District, but it's also got a lot of sound suppression on it. It's like hospital quality. We were concerned that we would be making noise disturbing the neighborhood, particularly the adjacent property owner to the south. So there was a lot of thought that went into that. It's not just a simple generator. It was well thought out in the design.
What fuel does that generator use?
It'll use diesel fuel. A portion of the tank is in the base of it. It will likely not operate a lot, but to stay in compliance with the state, we have to have some alternative power source so we can continue to provide water.
Absolutely.
That's the one that we'll have for the plant.
How big is that generator?
I don't know how many.
I think, is it a 450 kW? Sounds fair. I think it might be 450.
It's large.
Yes.
Again, thanks to the county, all the permitting on that, I think went really well. They've inspected. They went through all of our project submittals, what we submitted. They recently obtained some additional information on it now that we have it on site. They got all the numbers off the generator and all the ratings and stuff. So we haven't had any issue with that.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
When they did the PG&E, they put in those poles 2 weeks ago, something mm-hmm. like that. They shut the power off for the day. And our old generator, I think it's a 200 kW. We couldn't run the plant at full steam. We were trying to run it how we'd been running it. And for that day, the operator was really concerned because we had to turn pumps off and cut things down in half just so the generator would even run the plant, period. And the tank was dropping all day long. We were going, come on, guys, finish. And by the time they finally finished, we were able to turn the power back on and get everything fired up. So it's nice. Going to be nice to hopefully have a generator that will run everything.
Well, that is kind of interesting because the old plant is rated at 3 MGD and the new plant is 3 MGD, and we've got double the ability from the generator, so it should function properly now.
Yeah.
Is that a new way to run an airline? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, it just tells him if you really had a real emergency,
right.
In the wintertime, how in the hell are you going to keep the thing going?
Well, in the wintertime, it's fine because the demand's really low.
Yeah. Well,
it's the summertime. Like, if there was a fire.
A summer fire.
Oh, you'd be dead.
And the fire event, they're taking water, it would empty our system like that.
Yeah. I think everybody's been off a week and a half in the winter, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is never a problem in the winter because the water, no one's using any water hardly, so it's never an issue.
A marginal system at best, the current one that we're replacing.
Marginal at best.
The reason I like to show this every month is I like to grandstand on the fact that, again, Gloria works really well with the state on collecting money. Every month we make a payment to the contractor, and every month we have adequate funds to do that without dipping into other reserves. You can see from that the total amount that we've received to date, the $7+ million over on the right-hand side. We currently have one outstanding claim from the contractor, but I'm sure we'll get that reimbursement soon, and then I'm working on another one. But on a monthly basis, I think internal staff has done a great job of working directly with the state to keep those loan payments coming in. Even though it is a loan, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be submitted to them and a lot of reviews internally at the state level, and I just feel Gloria's got a great rapport with them, and it works great for us. So. Is that it on those?
That's it.
Okay.
All done.
I don't know what the pleasure of the board is as it relates to the report. It's similar information that I report every month. I can go into any specific thing if there's any questions on it. We've got a little different, we've got our budget identified in there on the second page. And then the last page concentrates on payments, which you just saw the chart. Again, page two's got a summary of the change orders to date. During this reporting period, there were no additional change orders. We've got a total of 5 right now. But if there are any questions from either the board or the public, I'd be happy to address it and what's in the report. Again, we've got a timeline scheduled. These things are posted on our website.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are we still scheduled to take possession of the client from the contractor in August, I believe, is what we've been talking about?
Well, I think a lot of the training is going to occur in October. There aren't any variations in that. They'll be starting the plant up and operating things. The plant itself, it'll be a while before it's 100% certified by the state. We're going to have to do what's called tracer study. The plant will be able to produce water and for the community, but then we have to get the plant rated. We want this thing rated at a 3 MGD plant. To do that and get the state approval on that, it requires a tracer study and things like that. I don't know if I addressed your question.
No, I'm talking more about the construction now, rather than all the training and certification that comes afterwards. I'm talking about when Myers and Sons basically turns the keys to the plant over to the district and says, we're done building, we're moving out, and now it's our responsibility to take it from there to where it's an operating plant. The conversation in the past has been that in August the actual construction phase will be completed, and that the district will then actually physically take possession of the plant.
Looking at the schedule that I have, and today is July, I would say August would be premature. One thing I do want to clarify, though, Myers won't be walking away, giving us the keys and saying it's ours. There's some additional training. There's some engineering staff that they have involved that will be active with our people on the plant. It's likely I will bring before the board a modification to possibly the SOMAS contract. They provide engineering support during construction. They've already given me a proposal to help us with the tracer study. They will also help us with the operation of the plant, things like that. So in response to your inquiry, August would be early. I don't see it happening there, just knowing where the plant is right now.
Mm-hmm. If I could throw in my recollection, yeah. The August discussion was not when they would turn the plant over, it was when we felt like the contractor would be comfortable with us scheduling some kind of tour.
Thank you.
Okay.
It was more of a, like, we thought the contractor said, hey, at that point, we think we'll be done enough with the site improvements and mm-hmm. that we could help work with the district to coordinate a tour.
I've actually had dozens of people ask when they can actually come and take a tour of the plant. They want to take a tour of our existing plant and see the new plant. Yeah. And when I talked to the general manager about this, he reached out to Myers, and they said, well, right now it would be a liability issue to try to do that, but sometime around August, it would probably be okay to start doing something like that.
I agree with that. I think the clarification that the general manager just provided us, yes, I think August would be appropriate. Today, some of the things you would see, we don't have all the pipe supports in place. There's a lot of overhanging type thing. There's been a lot of cleanup at the plant over the last month. As far as if we had a tour of people walking around, there aren't a lot of sharp objects or unusual things that they might encounter. But yeah, I think that's still an appropriate timeline, and I think that would likely be a good time when we could engage in some of that. It'd be nice during the tour if we had some of the power stuff actually hooked up, and you could see the MCC panels, portions of them working, things like that. But the a lot of the safety elements in August will definitely be corrected. And
if you guys could just give me a heads up,
yes,
when you think that would be appropriate, so I can reach back out to the people that have shown an interest in mm-hmm. doing this, I would very much appreciate it if you give me a week or two so I can work through the general manager to try to get some tours.
That would be good. That'll be another exciting time.
That would be a really wonderful thing for the community to be able to see what we've done there.
You have to let me know too, because otherwise my sons will have a. They want to go in there.
You want us to see if we can also schedule a fire truck to be there?
I will be dad of 2018.
Bonfire related.
Yeah, I'll talk to Dave over there too. Yeah.
I have one quick question. Million gallons per day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's exactly the same number as for the old plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a condition of the loan that we not build a growth inducing plant. Right.
There was a lot of discussion about that in the past concerning the fact that folks thought that we were building a plant that would produce more than the existing plant, and that we were doing so for the sake of growth, and we specifically were prohibited from doing that with this permit. So thank you so much. That's a great report as always. Anyone else have any questions for? Okay, Finance Committee.
Okay, this will be a short one. We've basically been spending most of the Finance Committee's time working with staff on the budgets, both the operation and the capital. So that's been taking up our time in our meetings. Mike and I worked with staff on the wastewater cost of service charges for ALT. And so we're involved in that process, and as he's indicated, we will be looking at the finals. But I will say that the staff people that were involved had a great plan together to look at all the things that were needed. Mike and I are a little shorter. We first come on index cards. But I think the one thing that it did show is we were thinking in the same terms, because our rankings were pretty darn close. So, and now the actual presentations will be made, and I'm sure we'll be involved in that too. So any other questions about the Finance Committee? I need to see you after.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Good job, guys. Thank you, your committee members for the board. Okay, new business. First reading of an ordinance certifying annual direct charges, fees, and assessments.
Right. So every year the district has to bring an ordinance and these documents that are required by the county in order to place our charges on the property tax rolls. So anything that we have that gets on property tax rolls, we got to submit to the county. The board has to adopt those charges by ordinance, which this is the first reading of. The charges that we've got here today, there's two assessment districts. They're still active. There's only two left. So since I've been here, we've been closing them out as we've determined that, oh yeah, their loans are paid off, the improvements are done. There's no reason to keep these open. We're down to two for this year, Stewart Mine and Kelsey North. And we are working close out of one other that's not on here, so those are the only two we're going to collect for next year. And then the other is Exhibit A to the ordinance, is the tax roll delinquencies. It looks there's, I don't know how many there are, there's about $9,000 worth of delinquencies. I want to tell you that this is still preliminary, and as people come in and they pay these off, we'll take them off here, and their discrepancies and disputes, we'll resolve them and take them off. But we have to make sure we're being conservative so that we catch everybody and we don't miss somebody when it comes time to submit the final list to the county. So next time, we'll bring this back at the next meeting. The list may be different of those folks, and then that will be the final list that we submit to the county. So that's it. So now the appropriate action is for the board to, I think, you have to hold a public hearing. Is that what we're doing? Or is it just first reading? Oh, it's just
first reading.
So, introduced by title only, waive first reading, receive any public comment on the proposed ordinance.
Very well. Thank you. Any discussion from the board? Do I have a motion for staff recommendation?
Public comment
after. Yes, public comment after the motion and second. Barbara, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
do I have a motion? I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Very good. Now, any, yes?
Is there any change to this other than the lists each year to the ordinance?
So
the same ordinance that...
It's the same ordinance. Just we're changing which districts we're collecting for.
Right.
And then we're changing who's on the tax refinancing. That's basically all it changes.
Things like dates and so on.
And dates, yeah.
Right.
The year.
Any other questions? Very well, bring it back to the board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous? All right, I will now, board discussion. Anybody have anything they want to talk about? Any future items that you might want to see on the agenda? Seeing none?
Just the one, I think Steve kind of brought it up, but something that I've already communicated to him about some sort of agenda item that looks at the trust, you know, setup for pension obligations, similar to what other districts have done. Is this what we heard at the conference?
Yeah, I know that we've talked about trust before, but let's talk. Very good. Seeing none then, I will close to... move to... Yes?
In regards to the report that the president made and the general manager, I'd like to suggest that the board consider maybe having a town hall on the water bond issue, because that's going to be a significant measure that's going to impact the district. And knowing how the ballot information comes out in our election package, it's not going to be enough information. So this way we can give the members of the district a chance to have a discussion and talk about it. I have access to the actual bond writer, and I could have him present the parts of the bond that will be specifically directed to our district. Knowing that it's the bond writer and knowing that he is also biased to the bond,
so
you take that as a grain of salt, but that's a good resource that we have for us.
If we're going to take if the board is going to think about taking a position on this, yes or no, on is that appropriate for the board to
do? Well, just an informational.
Yeah, I think he's suggesting an informational presentation that would be both pro and con.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think the board has to take a particular position in order to do that, just to educate.
Okay. The question I was asking is that something appropriate for the board to do?
The board can take a position on something like a bond.
Yes, and I'm saying that it's something that we might want to do, and then as a district, communicate what we believe to be the right thing to the residents as well. Certainly, having all the information available before making that decision, it makes tremendous sense, and we very much appreciate you being able to arrange something like that with the general manager. Perhaps we can have that be part of a board meeting in the not too distant future. And if the board is willing to take a position on this issue, I think it would be beneficial for us to be able to give some recommendation officially to our constituents.
Is this bond going to be in the November ballot?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you do it at your October meeting or something.
Mm-hmm. Or even September.
Or even August. We could do, if we just do it in informational presentation, we could do it August or September, and then the board at that time could provide direction whether or not a staff, if there's something you take a position on.
We'd like to have a discussion about whether or not we'd like to take a position
and
actually take a position if we decide to do so.
Yeah.
With as much information as we can.
Yeah, we bring back more information after the presentation, and you can take a position based on that information.
Wonderful.
If you want to. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes?
I think that something like that is important enough that you should put a notice in a water bill, set the timing up so that people get the notices in their water bill. That's the only way you're going to get everybody to know about it, instead of like Facebook or something else. Mm-hmm. Put it in the bill. Front page, and so that people will come, because it's pretty important that they know what's going on.
Sure.
Good suggestion.
I think that one. How about we compound this a little bit with a couple of these really good ideas, President Uso, and maybe think about doing it in two stages. Have the presentation here to the board, and we know a lot of people work during these hours, so they can't make it here anyway. Let the board take your position up, prepare your information, and then possibly have the town hall like Mr. Saunders is proposing, mm-hmm. so that you can do that outreach. We're working on trying to increase our communication and our outreach to the public anyway. And then you can have a town hall that would be informational, saying, mm-hmm. this is what we want you to know, this is what we want you to be prepared for in November, this is our position on it, and this is why. So So you're doing some of that public outreach and...
Or maybe even wait to, maybe even wait to take a position at that meeting so that we can get input from different folks in the community and see what they're thinking.
It's a good idea because we're all going to be learning this as well.
Is that something that we can possibly do? Would that be a great hardship for the staff to put something like that together for us?
Any kind of public workshop, it becomes work, as we're talking about. And then, you know, and I do think it raises a question for the board as well, that they want to take a position on something like a tax measure or bond measure where it's going to impact people beyond the water district and beyond, and it actually affects their finances personally. You know what I mean? If you're taking a position on a bond measure, it's a little beyond what the scope of what the district would normally do, and it goes beyond local politics. So I think I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying you need to think about, it's a bigger picture. It's not just water issues. Now you're also saying, well, I think bonds are a good idea, and we need to have bonds. We should have bonds in the state of California. And, you know, I mean, it's a bigger issue. A lot of people have very strong feelings about taxes versus bonds versus how you pay for things, right? So it's a bigger discussion.
And maybe the discussion will end up having the board decide not to take a position.
Right.
If we can't find that there's a compelling reason to have one.
Right.
But like I said before, some of these things...
So I think the first step would be to have a presentation.
Sure, sure, sure.
I could talk to Michael about having a presentation from the guy right in the bond. That'd be the first step, and then I think we see how that goes.
Okay.
And decide next steps from there.
All right.
I wouldn't want to commit to any path right now without learning more about it myself and what is going to be on the November ballot.
I don't have a problem with that thinking. But if we do, I agree that it's important enough, you know... We need to decide whether this bond is going to be beneficial to our community.
Right.
That's important to us.
Yeah, that's the question.
That's the question. If it's beneficial to our community, then and we have some consensus from the folks, and we should take that position. But if it's going to do nothing for us, if there's really no benefit to us, then we should take that position. I'm tired of not taking positions on some things that really affect our constituents, and we know are going to affect them. And well, anyway, that's how I feel about it. But sure, go ahead and set up that opportunity to get some more information, and we can make a decision there and then if we want to have a workshop and to invite folks to come in and give us their thoughts.
Yeah, I would reiterate to call John Kingsbury as well.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. As the Mountain Counties is doing the outreach and recommending positions on this on our behalf.
And we have a strong relationship with them, and I have a strong sense of trust that they're going to give us information that is factual. So absolutely, maybe, you know, I know that John's always... offering to come and talk to us. Mm-hmm. So you might invite him to come and talk to us the same day.
That's a good idea. Yep.
Okay.
Got it.
President, so would Dan make another recommendation for consideration?
Sure.
Is that we also maybe think about putting together one of the committees like you suggested to possibly help the general manager and his staff on his committee to possibly put together the workshop, if that's what we want to call it, or the town hall, whatever we want to call it, because there's someone else that can volunteer some time to help him out if he needs some help with some logistics.
I really appreciate that. You know, volunteerism is such an important thing for any community, and I also understand, having been in this position in the past, I know that there's a fine line, and I'll certainly, if the general manager would just talk about this, it's fine, but there's a fine line between where volunteers are helpful and a burden to a district. And I'm just saying that, you know, I love the concept of volunteerism, but that's something that I think we really would need to consider staff's feelings on before making that kind of decision. Okay? Anybody else? All right, we're going to move to closed session. Thank you all for coming. Okay.